Welcome to the Stanley Street Social Podcast, proudly presented by MAP. Before we get underway, if you could all hit subscribe on however you consume your podcasts, whether it's on iTunes, Spotify, whatever it is, hit subscribe. It's going to go a long way to helping us grow. If you could also like the content on our socials, give us a follow, even share this content on your own social platform, it will go a really long way to helping us grow. So thanks for listening to the podcast, and we really hope you enjoy this episode. Thanks a lot to MAP for their spot, and they've given us a nice little room here at the Tool Down Under pop-up shop. If you want to come down, it's on the corner of Angas and Gunson Street in Adelaide, right on the corner there, nice little pop-up store. So come on down, give it a look, and have a beer at the end of the stage and watch the final. So today I'm here with Patrick Shaw debriefing stage one of the Tool Down Under. Welcome, Pat.
Yeah, thanks, Campbell. It's good to be back. I mean, it's been a while between drinks.
It's been about 12 months since you've been on the pod.
Yeah, no pun intended. But yeah, back here at TDU. And, well, a different parkour. Very similar type of result for stage one, but we'll dive into that.
Let's get straight into it. There was there was four riders in the break, and it kind of went to three pretty quickly. We saw Jason Lee, one of the Bridge Vane boys, Paddy Bevan, an ex-Bridge Vane guy, and Michael Storer. So it was a good mix in there. And then there was an Astana rider. He dropped out with about 88k to go. But
yeah, he dropped out after his doors were blown off by Lee in the gear of the mountain. I don't even think Jason Lee went into second gear. He just looked really good.
Do you know him well? Have you had much to do with him?
Yeah, well, in 2016, that was the first year that I sort of spent time with him, with the team, but he's incredibly driven, I have to say that. And also he just has that, I don't know, he's got that ability to keep himself motivated to keep pursuing the end goal. The end goal for him is obviously he would love to make it to World Tour.
Of course.
And he's here racing a World Tour event. But often you get these riders, particularly from Uni SA, because they haven't had the exposure, and they'll get in a breakaway. I mean, we saw it last year. And then they go for these King of the Mountains points and they get made look pretty silly. But he absolutely rattled. And I didn't see the rider from Astana in the end anyways. But he took that King of the Mountain very easily. And he looked good all day. So I think we'd expect to see Jason Lee actually try and push for that jersey and hold on to that, I think.
What sort of rider is he? Is he a strong climber?
Hey, he's a good climber. I wouldn't say he's incredible.
But for the climbs here, you know, 3-4K, he's going to be fine.
He's not getting up corkscrew front group, but he certainly will be on the tail end of the guys. I think he'll probably be utilised to help maybe Chris Harper in that situation, which would be smart. But he can certainly pick up a lot more King of the Mountains points. And he's certainly got the ability to go in that early move on Wollonga Day and pick up those vital Cat 1 or Cat 2 major points.
But for him to wear a leader's jersey in a World Tour race tomorrow, that's huge, isn't it? Like, that's what it's all about, these Uni SA guys getting a gig.
Yeah, I mean, 2016, Sean Lake did the same. It almost got him a gig with Quickstep at the end of the year. Like, that was what really put him in the eyes. And that's what you've got to do. I spoke to the Uni SA guys at the Hilton just the other day, and I just said, you just need one moment of brilliance, one special moment. This is your chance. If you all work well together, someone will do something special this week. Already, they've done something pretty special to pick up a jersey. A bit of a head scratcher for me in the breakaway was Bevan. You know, I've already spoken to you.
You like him as a GC threat overall, don't you? Thereabouts, he'll be thereabouts.
Well, he should be. And I just wonder, he didn't look like he was pushing it. It would be very unconventional, but he did pick up time bonuses. He now sits third on the general.
Is he 5 seconds ahead of the other favourites? This race has been decided off of countback.
And I mean, I don't want to be rude, but it was a fair promenade today, let's be honest. The parkour wasn't extremely tough.
It was a pretty...
One Tree Hill.
Boring. It was a boring parkour. Let's be honest.
I think for the riders, more so than us, and that says something. But they've got to do it. They've got to have that rolling start to 2019. It's like you can't win. Because if you make it too hard, the riders will win.
Yeah.
If you make it boring, as it was, until the finale, we whinge. So what's better, the riders whinging or us? I often say, in fact, that it should be us, the spectators, and build the sport around them. But That's easy to say now that we're not bike riders.
Let's not forget that it's about 42 degrees here as well. And so for those aren't in Adelaide, it is hot. It is hot here.
No, in fairness, it feels like about 50. It does, doesn't it?
It does. Would you agree? Like, if you've been inside all day and you pop outside, it's like walking into an oven.
Yeah, the People's Classic the other day was exactly the same scenario. It was like, look at your weather app, 34, 35. Nah, it's not breaking it with me, mate. It was boiling, and it was seriously uncomfortable. Today, after the stage, walking back to the car, I was just thinking, you know, geez, I'm glad I'm not a bike rider anymore.
Because days like today,
that's a real test to the athletes, let alone the poor buggers that fell. You know, if you're crashing in this weather.
Do you see that Astana guy go over the hangers? He was just found himself in the grass by himself and just boom.
He did seemingly just find himself there, didn't he? It was one minute okay and next minute in grass.
Was he all right?
I don't know. Well, we will have to check up on that. But also, I did see that the Norwegian from Bora Hansgrohe, Mateusz Bodnar, he also had a lot of, his jersey and necks were really... Polish. What did I say?
Norwegian, pretty sure.
Oh, yeah, because we're talking about young Norwegian sprinter, weren't we, just moments ago? Yeah, my bad. Polish, of course. Yeah, he had his kit was ripped up to shreds. And they're not the things you want at the start of the season.
Not on day one of the season.
Nah.
Let's talk a little bit more about the race. So they got out to 4 minutes, the guys, and it almost seemed like Lotto almost pushed the panic button a little bit.
Well,
it because did. It came back, it was 4 minutes, and then the breakaway came back at 38K to go. It was almost like... Well, it did come back too fast. I'm sure they didn't plan that 100%.
No, way too early. I mean, it was always forecasted for a headwind into the finish, so it's always going to be difficult for the breakaway. I wasn't surprised to see them sort of stop it at 4 minutes. We often see that now in professional cycling, that they don't let that gap go too far because we've seen them bugger it up often.
Mm-hmm.
And when it was at 4 minutes, I sort of thought, you know, it would be difficult to bring these guys back if they get motivated.
Yeah.
But that's why I mentioned about Paddy Bevan. I don't reckon he actually really pushed it. And so I don't think that breakaway actually seriously tried to push it either.
Just going through the motions, you reckon?
Well, it's not a bad move, is it? I mean, he picks up bonus seconds on a stage that normally would have been... given to riders that will lose, you know, minutes later in the tour. I still think, albeit after today's ride by Paddy Bevan, it makes me question what he's...
Whether he's actually here for a serious GC assault.
Yep. But I see stage Wednesday, more opportunities for time bonuses. And he's a guy with an incredible capacity. His physiology is absolutely off the charts. Like, we've seen him develop as a time trialist over the last years with BMC. Moves to CCC team, which is the BMC team, but just a new name. I think there was a very sneaky move by the Kiwi today. And we'll see. We'll see as the week plays out. But 4 minutes and they just came back 40K to go. And I thought, why they brought it back so quick? But then it was even more promenade, wasn't it?
I think, yeah, between 40 and 5K to go. There's nothing really to talk about. I don't think anything happened. Big highway. It was like we were racing in Dubai or, you know, Qatar Tour with no crosswinds. There was nothing to report. And then the last 5K, it was messy, wasn't it? It was, no one got set up. No one looked like getting set up. Trek were there supporting Richie Port.
Mm.
The UniSA boys were down there on the right-hand side.
Yeah, well, it was. I think they were there till about 9K to go, the UniSA. And then there was that surge of pace. They came and then they shut it off. And by that stage, I think that they'd sort of already utilised a lot of their energies. And you know what it's like. You race in real heat. It's like racing at altitude. You sort of got that small amount of exertion capable of using.
Yeah.
Once it's used, that's it. She's done.
There's no recovering, is
no,
there?
No, she's done. Well, yeah, you might recover by the morning. But,
yeah.
But you're not recovering in 5 minutes as you would normally. And so there's riders out there today that never... touched the wind, never pushed a pedal in anger, and they'll be good come the rest of the week. But there'll be riders out there today that expose themselves, particularly moving up the peloton around the outside and on these exposed roads. It was very windy out there, which you didn't really see on the television. And I think they'll pay a big price for that.
So the actual sprint itself, very messy. No one got set up. Viviani, he was cool in a crisis, wasn't he? He was boxed in, saw the gap down the left-hand side, must have missed the fence by an inch, And once he got clear, he was that quick, wasn't he? He won by a couple of lengths in the end.
I've got to tell you.
You love Viviani, don't you? Well, let's get started on Viviani.
Let's have a bit of a festival. No, I'll be open about it. Last year we were here and, he moved to Quick Step and we were talking about it before the season started. We knew it was going to be his biggest year as a pro.
18 wins last year.
It's going to be more of the same, mate. Enjoy it. And I'm going to enjoy it too. He's probably not even that fit at the minute. I reckon he's less fit than what he was here last year.
And you know he did the track the other night as well. He was doing some local, it was a local track meet.
It was Morkov did it as well.
Yeah.
Oh, gorgeous to watch on the track, mate.
And Morkov.
Oh, one of the most impressive bike riders to watch on the track. I'd love to watch him at a 6 day because the other night was an exhibition event, but he was amazing. Like, man, doesn't even look like, he looks like he's pedaling without the chain. It's great. But back to Viviani, we can't get off him. He was entertaining at the track, 45 degree heat in there. He's pulled up, really didn't have much of a train. But he relishes those conditions. I think he loves those wins more than the others. And you're right, he just timed it perfection. When he popped out, though, it was all she wrote. As soon as he got down the barrier.
Because he kind of got the run, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he got the run perfect out of him. It was perfect once he got out, but he almost didn't get out.
Yeah, but he did. And that's all I have to do. And he made them all look silly. The headwind sprint helped a couple of the lesser sprinters. Really impressed by Philipsen from UAE. He was down the barriers, hitting, like almost clipping the barriers all the way. Hit the spectators'
cell phone.
Yeah, or whatever it was. The massive.
First time at a bike race, obviously, for that individual.
Yeah, last time at a bike race for that device. So I reckon watch out for Philipsen tomorrow as well.
You know who else? He ran a third Maretzko for CCC team.
Yeah.
He's crushed Lankawi untold times. He's been in the Pro Contis. Now he's got his world tour start. And like you said, it was a headwind sprint, so it was just about kind of being able to ride the wheels.
And he's a bulldog.
He likes getting in the trenches, doesn't he?
Yeah, it suits.
He likes a filthy sprint.
He does. And this is I think that would be his first World Tour podium because he seems to fail on the World Tour stage.
Yes, yeah, you're right.
He has his moments. Everyone knows he's quick, but for some reason when it comes to the World Tour, he really struggles to take that step. But maybe this is the year, maybe stepping up to CCC team, which is a team I really like. And we'd spent some time with them down the village the other day. They look like they're ready to have a big year.
Who missed out today, Pat? Who were you a little bit disappointed with?
Oh, obviously, Caleb wouldn't be.
He'd be so flat, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I don't know about flat. I mean, he's his biggest critic. You know, he's his hardest critic, should I say? So he'll reassess. But with the train that he's got, just take it up. Just take it up properly. I mean, unless the guys just didn't have it. The group of guys they've got have got more horsepower than any other train that's here, I believe anyways. Quickstep is the most, well, they're most often they execute the best, but certainly for HP I still think that this week Caleb's train is far superior to anyone else's, but he's given those sprinters a heck of a head start with no points today.
I think, yeah, you're right. If they can get Blythe and Klug wound up, I don't think there's anyone coming over the top of
Caleb. And
if they get it right.
And in fairness, the headwind sprint makes that more difficult.
Yeah.
But also, I think what really, it seems silly, but to cut that 4 kilometre lap out at the end of the stage, which they were going to do, they were going to come into that finishing, do a lap and come back, that would have changed it completely again. It's amazing what seeing a finish once will do for a group. But also on a circuit, you could take it up criterium style, run it down the right-hand barriers, and you start to take a lot of your competition out of play just in that. But, he won't be happy. Maybe something else happened. We don't know. I mean, in those scruffy finishes, there's always some young up-and-comer that's happy to chop your guts.
To risk it all.
Yeah, and good on them.
So tomorrow, Pat, what do you think's going to happen? Another early break. UniSA will probably be represented. And who do you think's going to take the chockies?
Yeah, early break for sure. You never really see a large early break going down under.
You don't, do you? And three, four, five maximum. Yeah. Wollonga, they start to slip away a little bit more. But
Wollonga's a bit more tactical too, because you've got the team role players that are waiting for their GC rider, particularly on the last lap. Small group will go away again. Hopefully not Jason Lee. I don't want him to do what Bowden did last year.
Just fry himself.
He ended up doing exactly that. And then, although he had the King of the Mountains points and had legs worthy, once you go out there twice, you can't do that at this level when you haven't had the exposure. So hopefully Jason Lee will say, right, I've got some points, happy to lose the jersey. I'm going to come back after that jersey later on. So maybe Aiden Tuvey to pop up the road tomorrow. And winner... Well, Viviani looked so good, didn't he?
And
I don't want to be the, you know, you always give me shit about I'm with a Viviani man. You know, I'll say Van Poppel to surprise, and I'll say Philipsen top five again. They're my picks for tomorrow. Hopefully Caleb can turn it around. But yeah, I reckon Van Poppel and Philipsen top five.
I'm gonna go with Sagan. I think I'm going to go with P. Sagan.
Is he still riding the alloy bike?
I don't even know.
Is that a piss take or?
I'm not the person to talk to. I don't really know much about my equipment. I don't really take much notice of that.
Well, you got
sort
to
of caper.
No, you got to admit. So I'll chuck you on the alloy bike and just go down the crits. You're still
yeah, probably
want,
not.
You want
probably
the
no.
carbon bike.
Just the final one. It's only stage one, but we'll get your tip now. Just overall winner. Overall cool. winner.
Put me on the spot. Are you going to tell us yours?
I'm going to go with our Port. He's looking really fit. And when he's looking fit, he is fit. You know what I mean? Like some people, they're like, oh, he looks fit, but he's not going well. With Richie, whenever he's looking lean,
he's flying. The time bonus is the big one. I think with the change of parkour, really gives the ability of your McCarthy's, your Haas's, your Paddy Bevan's to pick up crucial seconds. And then depending on the conditions we get on Wollonga, if Port gets a headwind again, it makes it difficult. So I'm going to say for my top three, I'm going to say Walt Poles, I'm going to say Richie Port, and I'm going to say Dries Devenans from Quickstep for third.
So you think Poles is, you know, what you've just said there is essentially you've said that Poles is going to outclimb Port on Corkscrew, distance him.
On Corkscrew, I think.
And Wollonga are going to distance him twice.
I don't think he'll distance him on Wollonga, but I think he potentially can hold him, and I think he'll be in a position to defend what he already has as a lead after Corkscrew.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. We'll be back at the same time tomorrow with another debrief on stage two. Hopefully a little bit more exciting, although the weather is going to be, I think it's 41 again tomorrow. So
it's pool party weather.
It is. It's pool party and colonial draft, so... Thanks for listening. Thanks to Matt for their spot here in their little pop-up shop. And we'll see you tomorrow for another unpack. Thanks again, Pat.
Cheers.